Hello, everyone. So we've got two readings today, one from Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then the second one is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus. So if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings to the people of Israel. I will show him how he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Let us pray. Yes, Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. Thank you that we are able to learn from it and you're able to speak to us through it, Lord. I just pray that you'll be with David as he brings our word today, and that we'll have ears to hear and just be able to be receptive to what he has to say to us and what you have to say to us through him. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Well, it's such a joy to again be opening up God's word together. And I want to just start with a little story from my childhood, which I've remembered many, many, many times. When I was growing up, I grew up in Kenya. We, for a season, had a water filter that was really very slow. You had to get your glass and, you poured a whole lot of water in the top of the water filter, and often it was empty. So you'd end up pouring it in and then you'd think, okay, we've got to fill up this bottle, and you'd turn the tap and the water would kind of trickle out. And we had it in such a way that you had to kind of hold the bottle or the glass while the kind of water came in. And I would often complain to my mum about why I had to hold the water bottle and wait for about a minute or so. It wasn't very long, really, to kind of get the water to put on the table. And my mum would say to me, "David, see it as an opportunity to pray for patience." So I used to sometimes, kind of begrudgingly, do that. And I've thought about it often, because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't ordinarily pray for patience. I often pray for things to want to happen soon and quick. I often pray, Lord, would you do this now? Maybe you've prayed prayers like that. But I wonder, have you ever prayed specifically for patience? You know, it doesn't often strike us as one of those things we kind of long for, you know, like we were talking about joy or peace. And, you know, and so I wonder, why is that? Why is it that we don't kind of pray for patience more or long for patience more? And I think, as I've just been reflecting on this, that it's because we've kind of been sold a kind of lie that quick is better, that fast is good. You know, fast food, you know, enjoy that hamburger. Fast relationships, you just need to swipe right. You know, or fast success, you know, whether through the lottery or some kind of hope that that kind of viral clip will catapult us into fame. And so we want it fast. But actually, fast and quick often isn't better. Isn't that right? And it often doesn't last. In fact, patience, learning to wait, that the simple principle of delayed gratification is something that actually every child needs to learn and every one of us needs to grow in if we're to really flourish in life, because patience is vital. It's vital for our relationships to work. It's vital, as Dan was saying, for kind of love and joy and peace to not get robbed when we hit some kind of frustration. It's vital for a life with God that bears the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, impatience can often lead to frustration, anger, rage, stress, a kind of deteriorating health in our lives. It can wreck our relationships. In fact, impatience can lead to us making stupid decisions. I don't know, have you ever done this? Have you ever kind of, in a rush, you kind of have done something or said something or posted something on social media and then have gone, oh no, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. Have you ever done that? You know, maybe we need patience far, far more than we realize. Maybe we need to actually realize, like my mum said, that there are loads of opportunities, if we would just see them, to pray for patience. And that patience is one of the most beautiful qualities that can so wonderfully bless your life and your relationships. You know, maybe hurry sickness is affecting your relationships with others and your relationships with God more than you realize. I heard someone say this recently. Kerry Nehoff said, intimacy never happens in a hurry. You know, God is not in a hurry. God is not in a hurry. God is love. And one of the most famous passages on love in the Bible says this, that love is what? Patient. It's the very first thing that gets mentioned. Love is patient. So I want to, as we go through this talk, I want to just pause at a few points. You know, the Psalms, I loved singing that psalm, Dan. But the Psalms sometimes have the little word selah next to them. Maybe you've wondered what that kind of means. It kind of means something like pause. And so I just want to pause here and just invite you and me to just pray that we would, in this rest of this talk, we just see something of how beautiful patience is. That the Holy Spirit would kind of come and show us just how wonderful this fruit is, that we'd kind of grow in our longing for it. So let's just pause. Just be still for a moment. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, help me. Help us to see afresh how beautiful patience is this morning. Lord, may we find we long for it more in our lives. we pray for it more in our lives. So come, Holy Spirit, we need your help in that. Help me, help us now. In your name. Amen. It's good not hurrying, isn't it? So I want to look at the story in Acts and just help us see something of that wonderful kind of fruit of the Spirit that is kind of breaking out as God pours out his Spirit on the early church. And you know, it's God's Spirit. So the amazing thing about the fruit of the Spirit is of course, they help us get to know God better. And the thing is, in the book of Acts, one of the things we're going to see in this chapter is God's patience that we actually so often struggle with. And there is purpose in God's patience. And, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, we're going to have to grapple with that because look what it says. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus. So if he found any there among those who belong to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Do you notice the meanwhile? And then the kind of Saul was still. You know, they refer back to Acts chapter 8, where we kind of left things after the stoning of Stephen last week, when we read at the beginning of Acts 8 that on that day, Acts 8 verse 1, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered. And godly men buried Stephen and mourned for him. And then it says this about Saul in Acts 8 verse 3. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. So let me ask you this. If God was going to intervene and meet with Saul, as we're going to read about in Acts chapter 9, why didn't he do that in Acts chapter 8 verse 3? Why didn't he do that on the way to the first house? Why on the way to Damascus all that time later? Why allow him to go house to house and drag off men and women and put them in prison? Why? I don't know about you. Do you ever find yourself wrestling with why, God, do you do things then that way and not now in this way? Can you relate to that? I know that's one of the things that I have struggled with over the years. God, what are you doing? We sing, don't we, sometimes that God, you're working in the waiting, but often we don't get a chance to see that. We don't see how God's working. But actually, in Acts chapter 8 and 9, we get a little insight into that, which I think is so helpful for us. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, we actually read this, that those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went, that there was something that God was doing in this waiting, in the patience, which caused his purposes of the good news getting spread to loads of different places. And in this story in Acts chapter 8, someone from Ethiopia comes to start hearing God's word, and it's just a wonderful story. And you know, as I was thinking about this week, we then had a prayer time with one of the partners who has helped over many, many years connect us with the amazing work that God is doing in India. You know, as I come to these kind of gift days and gift weeks, I often remember a time about 20 years ago when we had someone speak about the needs of the untouchables, the Dalits of India, the people who are some of the most populous in terms of the caste system in India, but they're the kind of the lower caste, the underclass, if you like. 250 million of them, some of the most trafficked people in the entire world. And as we heard about them, God stirred our hearts, and we started supporting a school there, and then a church as well. And God has, over the years, given us the opportunity for teams from this church to go out. I myself have had a chance to go and visit and see the amazing work that's been done of helping teach people that they're not a kind of, the kind of caste system in Hinduism says that they're nothing, less than nothing. But the reason why they wanted to be taught the Christian faith is because it shows they have value and dignity. And so God has been working in amazing ways. Church has been sprouting up. But then about a few years ago, persecution hit. And we were praying and they were praying. And God, would you kind of ease the persecution that the church in India is facing from the kind of extreme, kind of Hindu sort of parts of the country. And yet it hasn't stopped. And even as we were praying for that, we were praying just this last week. But, you know, as we were hearing about it, we were hearing, but God is doing something. As the church isn't able to meet in the same way in the kind of buildings, of course, we've learned, haven't we? The church is the people, not the building. And the people are scattered into smaller groups, multiplied and spread. And the gospel is spreading even faster in India, praise God, through what is going on. And I just want to reflect on this giving. I see every kind of pound, every pence that's given at this challenging time. And I think, praise God, this is enabling so much good in our world. You know, I'm so thankful for all that God has so wonderfully and graciously given through that gift day. But I also know that there is more I long and that we are even hoping and planning to do to be able to support and enable our mission partners. And so I want to say, if you haven't yet been part of this adventure of giving, then I want to encourage you to pray and consider what is your part, as Dan was saying. And I want to, as we think about the church in Acts, as we think about that beginning of Acts 9, about, you know, why had God left it? And as we think about the church in India, and as we think about our own lives and some of the struggles we have about, God, why are you allowing this now? And why don't you stop it yet? You know, why are we still in this kind of crazy kind of crisis that seems to kind of go on and on in different ways that's affecting our lives? You know, when's it going to come to an end? Let's allow ourselves to think, God, well, what are you trying to teach us through this? Help us see your purpose, because we trust that your timing is better than our timing. Amen? God's timing is better than our timing. In fact, Jesus said this. I find these words amazing. He said this in John 7, verse 6. My time is not yet here. For you, he said, any time will do. Can you relate to that? I just think that's so like God. But then a time does come where Jesus intervenes. He meets with Paul in a remarkable way. We have the story recorded here, one of the most famous kind of conversions kind of ever on the road to Damascus. And don't let's confuse God's patience for his inability to kind of work in power and in remarkable ways. When he wants to, he can work very quickly. And so God breaks in and speaks to Paul and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Look at verse 5 there in Acts chapter 9. It's like Jesus has kind of been letting this Paul thump and punch and pound his body like a kind of rebellious toddler who's kind of pounding his parent. And then the parent speaks with authority. Look, why are you doing this? He picks his moment. He's been immensely patient with him, but he wants to see a change. And of course, as Paul reflects on his life, he can see then the amazing patience of God. I love this in 1 Timothy 1, 15. Look what it says. He says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, Paul writes. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his, read it with me, immense patience. As an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. That God was doing something in this story to show us God's immense patience so that we would know that actually that is what God is like and how he wants to treat us. So I don't know if you ever feel like you've blown it with God. Do you ever feel like that? I don't know if you feel like you've done too much bad. You've rebelled too often. You've let him down too frequently. You've hurt too many people that you think God must have given up on me. Maybe you're still kind of here watching online or coming to church, but really you kind of feel like you better kind of keep your distance. I want to say no. God is so immensely patient with you. He's coming and drawing near and wanting you and I, even when we ignore him, even at times when we forget he's there, even when we forget how much he loves us, how much joy he wants to give us, how much patience he wants to give us, how much peace, he is there waiting. In fact, the Bible has this beautiful picture of Jesus coming to a church, to Christians, and he's kind of knocking on the door. Do you know that bit in Revelation 3? When he's knocking on the door and he's saying kind of, patiently waiting, and it says, if you will open the door, he will come in and meet with you, you with him. So I want to pause there to just say again, God, you're so patient with us. Today, this week, he's been wanting more than ever for you to kind of say, come on in, God, I want you in my life. So I want to just pause and say, God, do you want to just come and just completely take hold of our lives and our service in this time? Let's just pause and just say, God, reveal your patience to me, to us. Lord, may we be able to hear something of your knocking on the door of our heart. May we be able to see something of your purpose in your patience. You might just want to echo this little phrase, thank you, God, for being patient with me. Do you want to just say that with me? Thank you, God, for being patient with me. And Lord, we want to invite you in. Where you want to trust your way. Trust your timing. And that leads to the last thing I want us to do in this time. And that's to be seeking ourselves to grow in patience, to see what God might be doing in that. Look with me lastly then, that there's power in our patience. If you look back in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, we read this. It says here, now get up, Jesus said, go into the city and you will be told what you must do. So he gets up and goes, but he doesn't know when he's going to be told what he must do. He's just told to wait. And, you know, it says then that he kind of opened his eyes and realized he couldn't see in verse 7 and 8. He was kind of blinded. And we realize in verse 9 that it says, for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. And I want to again just ask, you know, why did Saul have to wait to be told what to do? You know, why the blindness? Why the 3 days? You know, and I want to kind of come back to this picture of fruit. You see, it takes time to grow fruit, doesn't it? You know, you often think, oh, I fancy a pear. Oh, go and buy a pear. You do know, don't you, that it didn't just appear at that moment you wanted it, and it didn't just kind of start like it does appear in the kind of packets or in the loose when you buy it in the shop. And you know, actually, we do know, and this is the picture that God just put on my heart as we come towards an end. You do know that fruit starts as a seed, don't you? You do know that actually what happens is that you plant the seed. Yeah, I've got my little pot. Sorry, Amy. She's gone out to youth. This was one of her pots, and I don't think the plant was doing that well. But I thought I'd get my seed and I'd plant it. Look, here you go. I'm planting it. I'm pouring a little bit of water in. Okay. So that's good, isn't it? Do you like some fruit? Hang on a minute. I know where it is. Sure, it'll be ready now. Oh, there it is. Oh, still pretty small. Oh, look, can you believe it? It's not done yet. Do you know what you need to do? You need to wait. You need to leave it. You need to water it. You need to let it grow. And for those 3 days, while it was kind of darkness, yet there was something growing inside Saul's heart. He was fasting. It says later he was praying. God was working and shaping and teaching this man who was rushing from house to house what it was to be still. And later, you know, God was going to use Ananias. He could have just said it all. Why did he use Ananias? Well, because he wanted to do something to knit their hearts together in this precious moment as they come together. And then he was going to tell him through Ananias that actually the call he had for him was one that was going to involve suffering, was going to involve having to be patient time and time again. In fact, I was thinking about how many of Paul's letters were written from prison, from a kind of place of isolation, trusting that God's timing was better than his. And I want to just say, folks, you know, patience isn't doing God's will slowly or kind of waiting a bit and then doing it. That's just delayed disobedience. You know, Paul kind of even here gets told, you know, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized, Ananias tells him later. So don't think that being patient and growing in patience is just doing slowly what God tells you. No. Patience is doing things at God's timing when his timing is different from yours. Patience is learning to bear with one another when it's easy just to say, oh, forget that, I'm leaving. Patience is learning to say, Satan, that's a lie that I can't wait, that I must give in to temptation. That's a lie. I can wait because I've been given God's patience to grow in patience. Patience is learning that when God's call involves suffering, and heads up, brothers and sisters, it always does. That we don't go, oh, well, in that case. But we patiently endure. A repeated refrain, the book of Revelation, is a call for patient endurance. That we would look at our Savior. Look at this, the call for patient endurance on behalf of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. That we would be looking at him. And as we look at him, the one who was faithful when mocked, faithful when falsely accused, patient when people were kind of beating him, patient when he was led to be crucified, patient as he hung there enduring great pain and suffering, patient when he died for our sins, patient while he was in the grave and then rose again 3 days later. And then they waited 40 days waiting on the Lord for him to pour out his spirit. And then when he poured out his spirit, the gospel spread often through persecution and through their scattering, but God is patient, and the people of God learned that they had to be patient too. That they were following a Savior who, as they looked to him, inspired their patience. And brothers and sisters, today I would love us to pray for a great outpouring of God's Spirit afresh on our lives, that we would grow in patience. I want to invite you right now to stand. The band's going to come back up. And I want to, if you're able, just stand with me. I want to encourage us to just have some time now where we wait on the Lord together. Where we allow him to do something in us as we learn to say, God, we want to grow in patience. We need your Spirit. And so as the band prepare to sing this song, Your Grace Is Enough, I want to invite you to just pray for more of God's Spirit in your life and that you would grow in patience. And I wonder, could I have the prayer ministry team just come out and about? Just, we're going to have some in this area up here. Maybe we could have a couple out on the stairs. And elders, if you're able just to join folks as well, these guys will just be available to pray with you. Because as we have this time, we've got time now. As we have this time, you might find that God brings to mind things that you've been waiting for. And you might want to go to one of these people and just say, look, I've been waiting. Maybe it's a health thing. Maybe it's a friend or a loved one to come to faith. And you just want to come and pray with them for that. To use this time to pray. You know, but also, you might want to be praying, God, would you help me have patience in this? God, would you give me patience And as we're waiting on the Lord and praying, if there's something that God is saying to you that you think might be for us, do come and share it with Dan. We'd love to kind of be attentive to God's voice in this time. So I don't know, Rob, maybe you could just start us off, and I'm just going to start in prayer, and then we'll continue in worship as we continue on. And just as the Lord leads, do move as you need to. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us afresh. We pray. Lord, we want more of you in our lives. We want more of your patience. Lord, I want to do what my mom encouraged me to do all those years ago, and in this moment pray that I would grow in patience. Lord, I ask that we would grow in patience. May we grow in how to pray in those things that we're waiting for. Even now, would you speak to us, Lord? Lord, often the more we wait, the more you do. So we just want to invite you, Holy Spirit, to do as you please amongst us, Lord, as we worship you now, Lord. Come, we pray.